I'm John Batzer with Michael Vlahos, my colleague, and Michael and I, and the role of Caius and Germanicus, are reflecting upon what happened 2,000 years ago in the original Civil War. The Romans invented Civil War. And they resolved their Civil War with the end of the Republic and the rise of the emperors. The Emperor Augustus followed repeatedly by Caesars all the way through, not even to the, beyond the end of the Roman Empire. We still think of Caesar, Kaiser, the leadership, as a role that we emulate. And of course, America and our institutions are shot through with Roman precedent. So I asked the question to Germanicus. Remember, we're sipping our wine by the Thames. We're reflecting. We're not feeling particularly threatened at this moment, although that will come again. We are in Britain, and they will throw us out soon enough. However, Germanicus, the men who wanted to save the Republic, and I'm thinking of Cato, the purest of the pure, but all of them, the conspirators around Caesar, and then afterwards, the conspirators around Octavian, who became Augustus, did they usher the Republic out? Were they, in fact, the road to empire that they thought they were preventing?
At some point, and we don't know where the tipping point was, it might have been as early as the many consulships, I think there were seven, of Marius, before Sulla. But certainly by Sulla and the time after Sulla, it was pretty clear that the big men were trying to save the Republic while at the same time all of their actions were driving the Roman Constitution into the ground.
This would be the first triumvirate or the second triumvirate. You know, chiefly, I think, of Crassus, Pompey the Great, and Caesar. Yes.
Well, by the first triumvirate, it was all over. And frankly, the assassination of Caesar was kind of the last gasp of the optimates class to try and recreate the Republic. And yet the people had turned against the optimates. And it was at that point that Caesar was offering the people, the populares, relief and a reasonable future. And so it was inevitable that the Constitution could not be recreated. And by being recreated, what I'm really saying is the Roman Constitution was all about the constant transfer of power. You had consuls, two consuls, every year. And you had a clear customary path called the cursus honorum, whereby a person of standing could ascend into the Senate and then become a player. But everything was done in a general socialized manner that had all of its customs and formulae and tradition that had to be adhered to. And that had all broken down because now it had been quite clear since Sulla and after that any big man who had enough power and money could essentially use his own legions who were loyal to him because they were completely dependent on him, and he could use them to take power. And under those circumstances, both of the optimates and populares classes got co-opted and ground down. And the result was that an individual ruler,
right,
who was bonded to the people, the emperor in waiting, had to happen. And I think all Romans understood that that had to happen. And so you and I, Caius and Germanicus, looking back, a century is not that long. Even in ancient times, we know full well what happened. And it was quite clear that the Roman Constitution had collapsed and that the only alternative to the emperor bond with the people, in which the Senate played a subsidiary role, that was the only way forward because the alternative was chaos.
They feared the king, and they ushered the king back in. They feared,
right,
they boasted their lives that they didn't need a king. That made them superior to their rivals, and yet they brought the king back.
Right, And the difference, which is important, is that the Roman emperor is a lot closer to the American president and not a model of kingship in this very special sense. The Roman emperor was essentially acclaimed by the Senate and the people of Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And the Roman emperor was not hereditary. There might be short little dynasties like the one that we're living in, where Domitian, Titus, and then Vespasian formed a kind of mini little dynasty, but they didn't last very long. And most Roman emperors were selected through a process that actually ended up looking a lot like civil war, but each Roman emperor was a lot like a U.S. president.
All right, let's turn to a modern example of one who might have been emperor in the middle of the 20th century. The elevation of a man from the middle of the country, Kansas and Texas. We know him as Ike, Dwight David Eisenhower. With Michael Vlahos of Johns Hopkins, we're discussing, are we now in a civil war? We're not sure. I'm John Batchelor.